Welcome, you fellow explorer of the chemical world. Today you'll start a journey, the first episode that will reveal chemical tidbits of our natural world. Close your eyes if you're not driving and imagine standing at the edge of a radio portal taking your first step into Chemistry Unboxed. My research assistant, Annie, is here with me today, keeping me honest and on track.
Thank you for having me, Dennis. Just what will we be discussing today?
We are going to talk about a gas in pure form. It is a colorless and odorless gas, making it difficult to see and smell. It is gas considered an energy carrier as it can store and deliver energy in various forms. Also used as rocket fuel, as when burned with oxygen, it just produces water vapor releasing a large amount of energy, making it an efficient propellant for space exploration. This colorless, odorless, tasteless gas has three natural isotopes. Protium has no neutrons in the nucleus, and deuterium containing one neutron, and tritium that contains two neutrons. Protium is also called, you very likely guessed it by now. The element for this episode is hydrogen with the symbol H.
I guessed it.
You cheated. I know you looked at our notes. Tritium is radioactive and rare, emitting low-energy beta radiation, fortunately blocked by just 3 to 4 millimeters of plastic or glass, allowing for safe use in self-luminous glow-in-the-dark exit signs. It is also used for research and medical applications. Tritium has a half-life of just over 12 years. Simply put, in that 12 years, half the tritium in the sample will be gone due to radioactive decay. The isotope tritium is used to turn a fission bomb, as the one used at Hiroshima, 15,000 tons of TNT into a hydrogen fusion bomb, releasing the equivalent of 10 million tons of TNT. A hydrogen bomb releases more energy because it fuses atoms. It is the same process that powers our sun, combining fission with fusion. I have a recording of a hydrogen bomb from when sound arrived after the silent flash, followed by the wind from the pressure wave. To lighten the mood, I have a song about hydrogen by Peter Wetherall.
Your name is hydrogen, and even though you're small, you're the most important element of all.
And a good ditty about tritium.
Tritium, it's tritium. That's one neutron too many, so whoops, nuclear decay.
Lighter than air, hydrogen was used as a lifting gas for large airships and balloons. However, flammability resulted in major accidents. Helium is the preferred gas for these lighter-than-air users. One of the most famous hydrogen-related accidents was the Hindenburg disaster. On May 6, 1937, the German passenger airship Hindenburg, inflated with hydrogen, caught fire and was destroyed during its attempt to land at Lakehurst, New Jersey. Herbert Morrison's vivid and dramatic radio account, often referred to as the Oh the Humanity radio broadcast, captured the shock and horror of this tragic event.
It's running, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast, and all the folks between us, this is terrible, this is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's like 400 or 500 feet into the sky.
Dennis, just why didn't the Germans use helium to be safe?
They would have much preferred to have used helium. But the Americans had the only natural resources of helium and were a little twitchy about sharing helium at the time.
Pity about that.
Hydrogen was discovered by the British scientist Henry Cavendish in 1766. However, it wasn't recognized as a distinct element just yet. The French chemist Antoine Lavoisier is credited with recognizing hydrogen as a unique element. In 1783, neither of these chemists tried to breathe this new gas, as has been suggested, is very dangerous, being a flammable gas. It could burn within the lungs or even explode. If the ratio of hydrogen to oxygen is near to 2 to 1, we will have a short musical interlude now with Annie while we think about exploding lungs.
Thank you.
That was The Hall of the Mountain King by the composer Edvard Grieg. It is a small part of the composition Peer Gynt Suite No. 1, which was written in 1875. It was used in the Disney classic Fantasia, where Mickey got himself into trouble as the sorcerer's apprentice, misusing his newfound power. It reminds Dennis of his early days in the chemistry lab, where he had to stop experimenting until his knowledge caught up. This is Annie at City Park Radio, finishing your brain break and ready to continue learning more about hydrogen.
Let's finish our exploration of hydrogen with some fun, the effect of the low density of a light gas on the vocal cords. This demonstration is my normal voice, followed by a deep breath of helium and then a simulated breath of hydrogen. You should hear a slight difference in pitch to a change of density between the gases. Do not attempt this with hydrogen. My normal voice breathing air.
My voice breathing helium. My voice breathing hydrogen.
Annie didn't want to miss out on the fun, so this is how it sounded with her voice. Remember, this is just a simulated breath of hydrogen.
Here I go. This is my normal voice breathing air.
My voice breathing helium. My voice breathing hydrogen.
There are three major ways to produce hydrogen on an industrial scale. They are called grey, blue, and green methods. The grey type produced using methane sourced from natural gas, that is mainly methane. Grey hydrogen manufacture has drawbacks, such as a large exhaust of greenhouse gas, mostly carbon dioxide. The term blue hydrogen is used when the waste carbon dioxide exhaust is captured and stored, reducing the overall carbon footprint. The blue method still relies on fossil fuel, and despite capture releases significant emissions. Green production uses electrolysis by the use of renewable solar, wind, or hydropower. Unlike grey or blue supply methods that rely on fossil fuels and carbon capture, green hydrogen is termed environmentally friendly. All of these methods have their problems, some of which have been solved and some are ongoing. A major use of hydrogen is the huge demand for a crucial raw material supplying ammonia, used extensively in the dual purposes of fertilizer and explosives, the compound ammonium nitrate, all thanks to the brilliant and efficient Haber-Bosch process combining hydrogen with nitrogen producing ammonia. Sadly, there have been three recent disasters involving ammonium nitrate explosions. The 1947 Texas City disaster, where a ship carrying this fertilizer caught fire and exploded. The 2015 Tianjin explosion in China. And the Beirut explosion occurred on August 4, 2020, in the port area of Beirut, the capital city. The explosion was caused by the detonation of approximately 2,750 tons of stockpiled fertilizer, all caused by the unintentional contamination of ammonium nitrate with hydrocarbons, such as oil or diesel. The intentional addition of these hydrocarbons to ammonium nitrate result in the mining explosive called nitropril. You would think we would learn by now. Hydrogen is employed in heat treatment procedures for the annealing and hardening of metals, improving their mechanical shortcomings. It is used in laboratories as an essential carrier for gas chromatography. New evolving research is exciting, such as the use of nascent hydrogen to stop aging at a cellular level, also providing high-density fuels from formic acid, and new work on generating hydrogen from alloys of reclaimable gallium and aluminium. Just like the movie Back to the Future, reclaiming used aluminium cans to fuel the not-so-futuristic DeLorean time travel vehicle.
You might have seen the iconic gasometer now occupied by Hog's Breath Cafe, its stored coal gas. If you're in Launceston, it's worth checking out this historical structure and learning more about its significance to the city's history. It held coal gas supplying the city. The gas mixture it held was 40 to 60% methane, 20 to 30% carbon monoxide supporting combustion of the gas mixture, and about 10 to 20% hydrogen, and it is just under our noses.
The interest in using this simple gas for clean energy is essential for our need of a low-carbon economy, from fuel cells, providing transport, energy storage, and power generation from renewable resources you could one day call hydrogen the forever fuel. Thank you, Annie, for keeping me company today and helping with the program. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and can join us for the next exciting subject of Chemistry Unboxed.
To stay curious.
This program was researched, written, and recorded by Dennis Klump.